Show second hour on this TGIF. Thank God it's Friday edition of Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy. Network. Joining us on the line, hurriedly trying to get together, is Pastor Rusty Chatfield, because I'm delinquent in adding him into the show. I apologize for doing that to you, sir. But you got a great lesson plan lined up for us today. Why don't you tell the folks about it?
Okay, you've heard people talk about how demonstrations and movements are organic. In other words, this was a grassroots movement, just sprang up almost overnight, and all of a sudden there was just a crowd there, and that's just the way that is. Oh, what a great grassroots movement. Myth. Never happens that way. Now, I'm not suggesting that there are sentiments that can be widespread and somewhat like grass growing. But no movement has ever been really completely organic. It's never been in the history of the world. I mean,
Now, you can't use that word never. Never in the history of the world. I have an exact perfect example to counter what you just said.
Tell me.
Garrett Sedano was very frustrated over the lockdowns.
I've got a good, perfect example to prove what I'm saying.
No. You didn't let me finish. You cut me off because you think you know the facts. Let me just inform you. He formed a Facebook page on a Friday night. He went to bed with about 50 people, his closest friends on Facebook, saw him created this group about Michigan or Michiganders, I think it was called, against the lockdowns. Something to that effect. I forget the name of the actual page itself. He got up the next morning and he had over 100,000 people had liked the page.
You just proved my point.
It required leadership.
It required leadership.
Oh, that's the part you're talking about. That this grassroots, any type of grassroots or movement requires a leader.
It always requires leadership. Now, it is true. All of us were feeling what, and Garrett Saldano, purposefully or not purposefully, I don't know, he tapped into that. He tapped into the fact that we were tired of the
lockdowns.
Of the unreasonable lockdowns, and it has gone way too far. That's true. But it required somebody to form a Facebook page. It
gotcha.
Required somebody to do something. It always requires that.
So people just can't complain and talk about it. Somebody actually has to do something?
Right. And it requires leadership. Let me start with the first illustration of this. December 16, 1773, an event commonly known as the Boston Tea Party, in which the Bostonians dressed up as Indians. Obviously, this wasn't done by Indians. They went into this ship, threw the tea overboard, and says, these tax policies that you're allowing this company to not pay taxes, and you expect us to buy this tea, we're going to throw it overboard. Do you think all those men just showed up and said, "Oh, wow, this is a grassroots movement"? No, there was a movement they didn't like what was going on, but it took men like Sam Adams and others, especially Sam Adams, to organize resistance and to promote. We're all going to meet in the middle of the night in Boston, and we're going to do this. And it took organization. It is always the case. It requires leadership. It requires organization. Another illustration out of history. I got so much in the Bible, but in history, July 14, 1789, when this is the beginning of the French Revolution.
Whoa. I want to get into this one because I painfully sat through that stupid movie, Napoleon. And, man, you're heading into territory I want to discuss. I want to go through it piece by piece, if we could do that, sir.
Okay.
Short break. We'll be right back.
Montana Black Angus beef raised in Onaway, Michigan. Tolini Farms have been raising their cows by feeding them non-GMO corn, barley, wheat, and alfalfa hay, all grown on their own farm. Taking the Ebels for processing, aged, standard cut, vacuum sealed, and frozen, ready for immediate delivery directly to you. Call them today at 989-733-2782 for their current $4 per hanging weight pound. Quarters or halves will feed your family for a year. Call them right now at 989-733-2782.
My name is Todd Smallenberg. I'm running to be your state representative in the 106th District. I took an oath to the Constitution and the American people my entire adult life. That oath has no expiration date. I will represent and fight for you, the people that elect me, not the folks in Lansing. Vote for me, Todd Smallenberg, and let's get Michigan back on track. Our kids and grandkids deserve a better future, and I am willing to fight for that. ElectSmallenberg.com. Paid for by Todd Smallenberg for state rep.
Take out the paper. Little Traverse Disposal in Harbor Springs supports this radio station, and we would like you to support them. Little Traverse Disposal is locally owned with hardworking guys that provide professional trash disposal for your home or business. You're already spending the money. Why not support a Northern Michigan-owned company who supports us? So call them today at 231-487-0780. Again, 231-487-0780.
If you are a PIE&G electric customer, call and get on the PIE&G Connect Express today. Call 800-423-6634 to get connected to the best, fastest, most reliable fiber internet connection in northern Michigan. Faster than Frontier, speedier than Sunrise, all at an affordable price. So call them today at 800-423-6634 and get on the PIE&G Connect internet train. All aboard!
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Having a conversation with Pastor Chatfield about no such thing as a totally organic grassroots movement. Unless you have leadership, somebody has to do something. This is not just something that just pops up all on its own, is basically what you're trying to say.
Right. And you'll see this, and all history proves this, in my view. It takes leadership. And sometimes at the end, but sometimes at the beginning. Some people, here's what some people call leadership. Find out where a big crowd is going, run out ahead of them and say, follow me. That's what, in other words, you find out what people are thinking. Run ahead of them and then portray yourself as a leader. When in reality, you're just kind of tapping into a sentiment. Now, the fact of the matter is all good politicians do that. This is not new. Now, you've heard me talk about Abraham Lincoln all the time. Abraham Lincoln would constantly take what he would call public opinion baths. He would meet common people at the White House and talk to them and try to get a sense of where people were. And then he would craft his message to kind of go along with what they were thinking. Now, he did believe in some things. He was a big believer in the Declaration of Independence, and he could move people to some measure. But he was a politician. Let me use Vladimir Lenin. He was less of a politician. He was almost like a preacher. The Russian history teacher that I had at Central Michigan said this, and I think it's right, that he, through force of will, he was almost like a preacher there in Moscow in the early 1900s, up until the Russian Revolution in 1917, proclaiming socialism and Marxism and convincing people and organizing and working and organizing and working and convincing people and taking risks until the Bolsheviks were able to seize power. Now, understand this, that the Communist Party never was greater than 3% in the Soviet Union ever. But because he was able to convince enough people, he could move people. But he's kind of and I'm not saying obviously I don't believe in communism, but people can be moved. They can be moved. Here's the story of the French Revolution in Bastille Day, July 14, 1789. There was a lot of discontent. It started – discontent with Louis XVI. It started with the First Estate, the rich. They didn't like the fact that they were starting to have to pay taxes, and they wanted an estates general, and they thought that they could move the king. But things got moved way further than just the aristocrats wanting to limit the power of the monarchy. It kept growing and growing and get out of hand. July 14th, things were beginning to break down. There was a mob that went and stormed the Bastille, which was simply an old castle in Paris that was used for primarily as a prison. Okay. And some government officials were killed, but then the army struck back and killed 98 people. But what is going on here? It's reported that a messenger came and told Louis XVI about the storming of the Bastille. And the king said, "This is a revolt." And the messenger is said to have replied, "No, sire, it is a revolution." See, what's the difference? A revolution is something, hey, there's people that are moving these people. This is not just spontaneously happening. It just doesn't work like that. So in some cases, people lead by finding where the crowd is and get out ahead of it and then tell people to follow me. Other times you get in the midst of the crowd and you preach, teach. And for me, I try to preach the gospel, try to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm preaching. I'm trying to make converts here. Okay. The power of the word of God, the power of the gospel, power of the Holy Spirit. But nevertheless, we're trying to make converts and then we lead them. Other types of leadership is where people just find out what everybody believes and then they pretend to lead. And it's rarely the former, it's almost always the latter among politicians. Very few leaders that actually lead and convince people and say, follow me. And it's like every leader when he says, okay, everybody follow me. You keep your eyes straight forward and you dare not look behind you because you're really not sure how many people are going to follow you at all. But when you really believe something, that's how you do it. Now, this basic idea is found throughout the Bible. Okay, Jesus, just 5 days before he's crucified, is coming into Jerusalem. And the Bible says, and when they, I mean, just reading from the Bible, Matthew 21. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives then sent Jesus to disciples, saying, Go unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, the Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. So he sends these guys, go get me an ass and a colt, because I'm going to ride in. And then obviously somebody starts saying, Jesus Christ of Nazareth is coming into Jerusalem. Because the Bible says, and a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and straw them in the way. And the multitude that went before them and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved. See, there just didn't happen to be a multitude there. You had to gather the multitude. Now, just a mere 4 or 5 days later, on Friday, when the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed by Judas Iscariot and denied by Peter and by all the apostles, something similar happens. I'm in Matthew 27, verse 15. So he's standing before Pontius Pilate. Now at the feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew, that's Pilate knew, that for envy they, the Sanhedrin, the Jewish leadership, had delivered him. Verse 20, but the chief priest and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. So now there's another crowd here. 4 or 5 days later, after what is commonly known as Palm Sunday, where everybody's saying, oh, here comes the Christ.
Right.
The chief priest persuaded the multitude. And the governor and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They say, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. See, and Pilate couldn't convince him, and he wasn't going to risk his political future on doing what he knew was right. He knew that Jesus was innocent. But the point here I'm making with this is, and this is made throughout the book of Acts, is that you can move people. The city received the Lord Jesus, and then they rejected him and let him be crucified because they were moved by smart people that were able to persuade the multitude. And it is so few people are unpersuadable, are so true in their convictions that you're not able to persuade them. And this happens throughout the book of Acts as Paul and Barnabas start to spread the gospel. I don't know how much you want me to go on with this, but
it's interesting. I'm liking the two ways you're doing this. Number one, historically with regards to our Constitution. But the Bible, so what you're saying is that this is an entire reoccurring event, history from the Bible, then into world history, and then even our U.S. history. This is able to be proven every step of the way. This is not something that just popped up overnight.
Absolutely. Sam Adams, very important in American history. He was the chief rabble-rouser. He was the chief organizer. He was the chief one that was arguing against what we would call tyrannical British rule. Without him stirring things up and organizing people, people like George Washington, who was not a rabble-rouser at all. I mean, he was a man of principle and a great president. I like him. But he wasn't an organizer. He wasn't Patrick Henry. Patrick Henry was the orator that could stir people up, and then Washington comes in and agrees, and people turn to Washington, because he had fought in the French and Indian War and was a man greatly respected. True, but he wasn't a Patrick Henry. He wasn't a Sam Adams. He wasn't a John Hancock. These other people were organizers of people. Now, and that can be for good, and it can be for ill, okay? Again, Acts chapter 13, Paul and Barnabas are out preaching the gospel. And the Bible says in verse 45, but when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. You know, it's not true, because they were jealous of all the crowds following Paul. Again, verse 50. So they're preaching, but verse 50, the Bible says in Acts 13, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of the coast. See, these guys knew how to stir people up.
Right.
You heard us talk about the riots in 2020. Oh, sure. That was just a spontaneous grassroots revolt against how the police were treating
Black Lives Matter.
Yeah. That was spontaneous.
George Floyd.
Yeah. It was all spontaneous. It just came up out of nowhere. Oh, that's ridiculous. Of course it did not. And I'm not justifying anything that happened to George Floyd. I'm not saying it was good at all.
But the woman who basically started Black Lives Matter and raised millions and millions of dollars, which she spent on expensive homes for herself. You've heard that story, I'm sure.
Right.
Well, guess what? She was the one, like you're saying, Garrett Sedano tapped into our feelings about being locked down. She created and took advantage of those feelings that were going on within the Black community.
Right. And it required some money. Now, I don't have facts to back this up, but I will tell you it took money. Somebody funded her, so she raised money. Oh, it was grassroots, just $10-$20 sent in. Almost never happens that way.
Right.
It happens a little bit like that, but who do you think is able to fund these movements? Rush Limbaugh used to call it rent-a-mob. I mean, you can just go out there and pay people to protest and just stir things up. Listen, all history points to that. Again, in Acts 14, and it came to pass in Iconium that they, Barnabas and Paul, went together unto the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of Jews and also the Greeks, believed. Now, they were preaching the gospel. Amen.
Right. Yep.
Verse 2, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected toward the brethren. And so this mob comes at them again, and they stir them up, and they basically drive Paul and Barnabas from the city. So Paul and Barnabas would go into a city, preach the gospel, people would be saved, but then the unbelievers would organize themselves and drive them out. And again, it happens in chapter 14 when Paul's at Lystra. And there came hither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew them out of the city, supposing that he had been dead. I mean, you can stir people up. Mobs can be created with lies, with a certain amount of truth stretched out of proportion to which they become lies. That's the nature of all history. You have to do things. People have to be organized. There might be a revolt without much organization, but there's never a revolution. It never works.
Yep.
It does not work.
Absolutely. Well, one of the things, I got a couple of text messages coming in. We'll get to those after the break. We'll get your questions in for Pastor Chatfield. But kind of interesting, like you're saying, this is a label. Organic grassroots uprising movement or whatever. I got a question here that says, Pastor Sheffield, where did that phrase come from? Where did this actually come as a excuse or a way to justify what you're talking about? We're going to get to that. Bomb the Hour News. We'll be right back.